Welcome to episode 32, Thoughtfully Addressing Social and Cultural Crisis Through PR.
Welcome to the PR Playbook Podcast with Ranjini Joshua, the only podcast that teaches you how to strategically navigate the world of public relations and social media and grow a powerful brand.
Welcome to episode 32. Today, I have the pleasure of interviewing Mike Johns, founder at Digital Mindstate, a creative marketing agency based in Hollywood, California. Hi, Mike. Thank you for joining me today on the PR Playbook podcast.
Thank you for having me. How's everybody doing?
Good. You know, as good as can be expected with the social and medical climate.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. So I thought it would be really interesting. I mean, I think a lot of brands have been tiptoeing around the topics that are top of mind lately. So I want to first, you know, start this off. I want to talk about addressing social issues with PR. But first, I'd love to talk about a little bit more about your background so we can get a little bit of behind the scenes look at who you are and understand your role kind of in marketing and media.
Absolutely. So Digital Mindstate, we're a creative agency that focuses in on both small and large organizations in terms of furthering growth and development activations. We specialize in working with startup operations and then with established businesses. You know, the name of the game for us is tech is only as good as the people that use it. And we sit at this intersection between technology and entertainment. We really have a solid footprint there, and that has expanded even further in terms of education as well as working with establishing smart cities. So we have our hands filled, but it starts off heavy in terms of entertainment. So again, we sit at that intersection between tech and entertainment, and because of that and the dynamics of what we do, that has spiraled into other arenas such as education and then working with smart cities.
Yeah, no, I think actually, you know, you're talking about entertainment, and I think that is a catalyst and an area, especially for today's social discussion, especially like in the hip hop industry and other entertainment areas where you see a lot of mixed cultures. I think one of the things that is really important today, and this is for tech brands, entertainment brands, any lifestyle brands, really, is how to mindfully consider social climate while you're doing PR and marketing. You know, do you talk about it? Do you not talk about it? We've seen a lot of media and consumer brands take a stance on today, what's happening in the media. And I guess I wanted to talk more about how do you determine what's the right approach for your brand and what you should and shouldn't say, you know, when we're you know, rethinking our marketing plans when big news hits, like things like George Floyd. And I mean, there's so many things I can think of right now, but you know, what should brands think about when they're thinking about becoming a little bit more socially conscious and fitting their messages to what's happening in the news?
Absolutely. That's a good question. You know, in these times, you know, I look at the world as, and I've been preaching this, once upon a time it was BC stood for before Christ and AD was the year of the Lord. Well, that's now been remixed to BC stands for before coronavirus and AD is replaced with AC, meaning after coronavirus. Yeah. And in these times, I think the two mother pearls of them all is how authentic are you and are you trustworthy? To me right now, trust is the new goal. As we're looking at it, we're in a time where I think polls have it. If you look at millennials, their trust with government, their trust with the police, this has been shattered, right? And it goes well beyond just the millennials, but that trust factor is the new goal. Being authentic, and this is what I say, especially as we talk about, you know, these times and looking at Black Lives Matter. If you didn't have a message that was in line with Black Lives Matter, and now you're jumping on the bandwagon, your customers can see that. And I like to say the people formerly known as the customers, because now with data at their fingertips, you could kind of now even make a judgment call yourself. That's not, I didn't know Crest toothpaste like that. Now they're involved in social activism.
Right.
That's kind of interesting. When did that happen? So you want to be mindful to answer your question, how authentic are you being with the message? What is the truth in that message? And how is this also, how is this being aligned with the word trust? Because again, trust is the gold.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously, I feel like Nike is a cultural icon. And so yes, they're obviously commenting on it.
They're winning right now, right?
Totally.
They're totally winning. They're the best example that we have. And I mean, there's some others that could actually come into line. But when I said Crest toothpaste taking a role in activism, you know, I just use that as an example. But when you throw Nike, so if they decide to take on Black Lives Matter or domestic violence, abuse against women, well, it makes sense because they've already had a social presence, right? So the authenticity is already checked.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, yeah, exactly. They've already marked that box. I mean, as a brand as big as Nike, who's done so many things, obviously they get a lot of coverage. But yes. What about like when you're talking about smaller brands? I think one of the things that I think people need to be clear about is there are negative impacts, like you said, of not being authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with us working with startup companies,
yes,
you don't want to make that mistake, because the VC that you talk about, and this is actually kind of leads into another kind of funding question, but the VCs that you're talking to, the investors that you're talking to, you know, how that all the messaging that you put out plays into the way they see you as a potential investment, a brand. Yeah. And I guess, and this might be a tricky question to answer, mm-hmm, you know, on the spot, but it's, how do you navigate that? What is the safe play to make, but while still being true to your brand?
That is a good question. I like that. Thinking on the feet here. Yeah. So with that, you know, it's kind of like there's going to be the gut feeling, you know, and I go back to that toothpaste analogy where, yeah, that might be Crest toothpaste. And if they mess up on that campaign, they have the money to do damage control. Whereas a startup, that may not be the case. That might be the ship sunk.
Right.
But the premise still remains the same, where what does that gut instinct look like? How authentic are we being? So if it's a startup product that's a lifestyle brand to you name it,
yeah,
it's really going to depend on the product and what the mission statement of that product is. I could use certain lifestyle brands that actually are environmentally friendly versus some products that are specific to solving a problem.
Right.
Well, that one, there's going to be, so you're gauging a little bit different. The one that's focused on lifestyle or focused on the environment, there could be a play and an angle for them to deviate into a social or some sort of activism,
sure,
campaign. Whereas a product that's specific to a particular call to action, it may be hard for Firestone tires to get involved.
Right.
Like how do they paint that picture? Whereas Levi jeans, right? I can tell that story with Levi jeans because a person of all walks of life wear these jeans.
Right.
A person of all walks of life wear these shoes. So the story could be told that way. But for the Firestone tires, there could be a different degree of creativity needed.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I see your point. I think, yeah, I mean, I think this is a really interesting area to tread around. I know
a lot will play, not to cut you off, but
yeah,
I think it will depend on the product that will then make the, how far can we go? What is our social campaign looking like?
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of the companies that we are talking to, too, they already have a tricky thing. They're already trying to navigate around coronavirus. And we were already navigating product launches around this, you know, this epidemic or pandemic that's, you know, plagued the entire world. now we have this new element, and it's not new, I guess, it's just an element that's been highlighted and risen up. And so now everyone's trying to figure out, okay, where do I play in the coronavirus thing? Where do I play in the social conversation? And, right. You know, and people are still, I mean, this happens to everyone. And this is what we call, you know, newsjacking, right? Mm-hmm. In PR is like, they try to piggyback off what's going on in the news. And I feel like there's like a proper way to do it. And like you said, maybe the thing is this authentic to your mission, values, your brand statement overall?
Right.
Have you guys had to have any kind of adjustment? Like how have you, and I know you guys have done a lot of, you guys do a lot of creative work, like you said, in the entertainment space.
Mm-hmm.
How have you at Digital Mindset incorporated today's current events into your business or into the way you guys work or into your creative outlets for your clients? Have you had to do that for anyone?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a couple of things that I'll say here. To your last comment, I'll start with newsjacking. I love that phrase, newsjacking. And I almost look at that kind of like it's no different than when I'm sure your listeners have heard of P. Diddy or Sean Combs.
Sure.
And when he came on the scene, what was he known for? What was he scrutinized for?
Right.
Sampling.
Yeah.
Sampling is newsjacking. And all of a sudden, sampling became its own art form. Right. And I'd look at, you know, when I look at newsjacking, I think it goes hand in hand with the times that we're in. And it's already cemented by what King Solomon already said. There's nothing new under the sun. If Donald Trump does X, Y, and Z, CBS and NBC and ABC, the traditional outlets, they're all reporting on the same thing. Just in the so-called old school traditional formats.
Sure.
The new school version of that is someone taking what you did and spicing it up that fits the bill for the audience that they're going for. Sure. And so that's where I look at sampling, where it's like to a different audience, sampling might be like, what the hell is that? That's not even music. to someone else, like, hey, there was actually some creativity in this. Some
creative genius that went behind that, yeah.
You've created something new. You're going on an uncharted territory. So that's what I look at with newsjacking, where, and you see that heavily in the entertainment tabloids, whether it's a TMZ, you know, they set the trends, but then other outlets underneath them will take bits and pieces of what TMZ did to paint the picture to the paint the narrative to the audience that they serve. And I think that's just creative. Back to the sampling, where it's this new creative art form. And now we're more and more into this era of low yield, low production, high yield.
Right.
And so we're seeing that, you know, technology has made it where the little kid in Iowa can make a video and it gets more views than the Hollywood production.
Sure. And
probably a good example of this would be Tico. So my son, he loves Fortnite, and I think there's the song Fishy on Me, and this song has over 45 million views, and it played in this game, and the guy made other songs. All of his songs are in the million, and yet the average singer doesn't have these type of view counts.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I've never heard of this person.
Yeah. So it's like, if you type in YouTube and just type in Fishy on Me, it's like the song is, the words don't even make sense, but it's so catchy. But that's a part of this low production, high yield. And the high yield is when you see the view counts.
Right.
And that's, we live in a likenomics society, so
like
your worth is based. Yeah, your worth is based on the likes. You can tell a lot about the brand based on the likes. That,
sure.
At least on the superficial surface.
Right. Yeah, that's a really good point. That's crazy. Yeah, it's kind of like it's a new world.
Yes. To your point, that is the subject here. It is a new world. Newsjacking wasn't done in the eras of Walter Cronkite and Diane Sawyer and all them. That's a new thing that has emerged. Mm-hmm. And I support it. It's being as creative as possible in that space.
do you think there's any times where, or I'm sure there is, but what do you think are times where people should refrain from newsjacking?
So I think when you're in the world of content, clearly this is a content discussion. Ideally, you want to be original piece content. That's the perfect word, if you could just be all original. Right. But the other side of that is to have newsjacking coupled with original content. That's sexy.
Yeah.
So I think that it's a balance. And the newsjacking becomes original, right? It actually becomes an original. This is a part of the creativity. Those people there reported the news. I jacked the news, put a different twist to it. Then it becomes this original piece to the viewer's eye. And you couple that with very original pieces, there's a remedy to that.
Right.
But that's a solution. That's a part of the new world that we're in. And TMZ is a great example of this.
Yes.
TMZ has ushered in a new world.
I mean, I think what I'm hearing from our conversation today is creativity, content is king, used to be the big thing. And I think now it's creativity is king. It's a combination of content, entertainment, authenticity. It's getting complicated.
It's very complicated. I mean, when we look at any one piece of content, I'm dealing with clients that we can repurpose old content. So some of the comedians that we work with, we're literally just, rather than them create new content, let's repurpose some of the old, monetize that. So when you look at content offering, you have to look at what vertical you're going on and what other verticals can you go on. And that's just in terms of content creation to distribution. Then there's the content promotion. So that same long form content, I could make a short form of that and distribute it on various pipelines, be it Instagram. I can make a shorter version of that if it's a podcast and, hey, I'm going to make an audiogram. Right. So this is where it gets very sophisticated, because the methods of madness for social media platforms such as Instagram has a different dynamics than a LinkedIn, than a Twitter, than a TikTok. So that's an important piece to have mastered. That's an important piece to master in terms of social promotion, just as much as the content and where this content, the content distribution is going.
Okay, so I feel like, based on what you're saying, what really you need to do is kind of figure out what strategic content is going to fit you best, and then be able to chop it up a little bit for different things. So what do you think, maybe as a takeaway today, is maybe the single or double most important things when you're creating or deciding to create some kind of content? What is really the one or two best tips that you can give for what they should be considering before they go into this?
Oh, absolutely. That's a good question. Here's your answer. Who is your audience and why? And then if you're really business savvy, who is your advertiser and why? Those are the two questions. That's the game right there. I could drop the mic on that.
Okay.
And it's such a basic question that forces you to think, because you almost think that, hey, I build and they will come. No. Who is your audience? Point to your audience. Identify your audience. It might be in your head, but you have to spell that out. And then who is your advertiser? And the why. Why are they watching? Attention is the new currency. And in this attention economy, you need to clearly spell out why are they going to watch your content, or be moved by your content. Why are you worthy of me watching your content is what should be asked, followed by who would advertise with me?
Right. Yeah, no, that's really good. I love that. Intention is currency.
Yes.
That's really important to take away from this. So that's really cool. Thank you. Okay, so I think we could have covered a few different topics. I'm sure we can keep going, but we want to keep this short and sweet. Thank you again, Mike, for joining us today. If you want to get in touch with Digital Mindstate, can you give us a quick shout out where they can find you?
Yeah, absolutely. We're available online, digitalmindstate.com, or you can find us on LinkedIn. I'm one, I have my bias with social media. That's like another conversation. It's almost in the conspiracy realm. But if you want to get in touch with me direct, you can find me also on LinkedIn. That's an arena that we do play in.
Yes.
So because we're a creative agency, we tend to operate a little bit in stealth mode. We're behind the scenes. So we don't really have too many of the social media plugs, but we are on LinkedIn.
Awesome. Okay. Well, just remember, I think one of the big takeaways from today was if you are going to be part of a social conversation, make sure it's closely aligned with your brand vision and your message, so it's authentic. And also, you know, be more creative with content. I think, again, attention is currency. So I think I love that. That definitely should be something that we keep in mind as we're creating content moving forward. And I know sometimes we can kind of...
I would even add to that.
Yeah.
I'm going to add to that phrase since you're using it. Attention is the new currency. Eyeballs are the distribution.
Got it. Yeah.
And that's what, you know, as a content creator... One should think, you know, so there's a couple of things that you're thinking of. One, who's the audience and why? Who's the advertiser and why? When I'm creating this, how will it get from the creation to go viral? What are the mechanics? How do I, you know, I always look at artists, especially with music videos. Now that you created the video, now what? How do you go from one view to 10 million views? Have you thought about that?
And I don't think it needs to be complicated either, right? Like, it's very direct. It's just answering those simple questions and then sticking to them.
Absolutely. That's right.
Awesome. Well, if you guys want to talk to Digital Mindstate and his team, we will have the contact information in our show notes as usual. Of course, we can please send questions and suggestions to podcast@thesilvertelegram.com. Thank you so much for listening and have a great week.